This episode is brought to you by Castwave Studios and Amazon. Go to www.castwavestudios.com and click the Amazon tab and search for everything from iPads to streaming video to Surge. So tasty. It doesn't cost you a thing and help keeps the studio producing free content. Go to castwavestudios.com and click the Amazon tab today.
The Internet, the final frontier.
On this episode of Boldly Going Nowhere, we discuss the crappiest of opening days for the Cubs. We discuss the ludicrous amount of money that Furious 7 has garnered in its opening week. And Jordan comes up with a dick joke. Only after 60 episodes. I'm Colin Kakamas, and you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we're boldly going nowhere. Boldly Going Nowhere, the podcast. Well, you all know this.
Bienvenue.
And how are we this evening, gentlemen?
Good.
Yeah. We're all full. Got some pizza in us.
A lot of pizza.
I'm almost over my cold.
Almost over your cold. All right.
All right. I hope we don't have to edit out too much hacking and coughing tonight.
Nah, that shouldn't be too much. Anyway. So we have a couple things we want to talk about, but Jordan was wanting to tell me about his experience with opening day for baseball.
Yeah, I have to say that I have not really been keeping up on my sports balls. I've never really been that much of a sports fan at all, although I still have kind of a soft spot for baseball. I feel like I admire baseball for being like the only professional sport that does not need to have a clock. I just think that's neat.
Yeah, I will admit it is one of those that will go for hours after the game was technically scheduled to end.
I once attended a game of the Pirates versus the Phillies, and the Phillies were down by 6 runs with 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th, nobody on, and they won.
Thanks,
no clock. But in any case, it wasn't that long ago when it was opening day for the 2015 season, naturally. And I started to take a break. I was on lunch break from work, so I decided to load up one of the few websites that I can actually look at work, which is just MSN.com, of course. So I went to their sports page to take in the opening day news. And the first picture that loaded was of Wrigley Field, and I'm like, all right, good. You know, the Chicago Cubs they're the ultimate underdogs, right?
Yep.
So they must have had a really good opening day.
Yeah, they're like the one team I would actually, if I ever went back to watch baseball on a regular basis, they'd probably be the only team I'd want to follow.
I wish I could go back in the season, put some money on the Cubbies. Yeah, it's 2015.
Yep. Yeah. Oh my God, that is true. Yep.
And we never had any more Jaws movies. Yes!
Yay! Victory.
Yet.
Anyway. Anywho, I was looking forward to hearing of the Chicago Cubs' great opening day, and then the headline loaded, which this is front page material on opening day. It was Wrigley Field's opening day marred by bathroom catastrophe. It's like that's the Chicago Cubs' luck there, isn't it?
I mean, it's
well, to elucidate, of the like 60 bathrooms I think they have at Wrigley Field, 2 of them were working that day.
Jeez.
So pretty much every surface and corner of Wrigley Field as the game went on was just wall to wall with beer cups full of urine.
Yep. According to this, at half-hour bathroom lines, and people just getting so irritated at waiting, they just went off and peed in a corner. Classy Chicago.
When all else fails, public urination.
I love this tweet. You're going to hear jokes and hyperbole about the Wrigley bathroom lines. Please note,
They're likely understating the issue. Wow.
I can just imagine the ghost of Harry Carey calling out saying, I'm really sorry, Cubbies, if you had to defecate in the corner. This is my staff at Wrigley Field. We'll give you an extra hour in the ball pit.
I got an actual hour of the ball pit. You're gonna love it.
Okay, well,
I got it.
We okay. Look,
Dash.
First and foremost, my Harry Carey impression really sucks. Thank you for saving me on that, there, Sean. Secondly, during our DashCon debacle breakdown, did we even mention
somebody peed in the ball pit?
I didn't know that. No, I was thinking more along the lines of even if we really respected and loved being in a ball pit, and I don't feel like we really do, but even if we did, do you think you'd be able to last an hour in there?
No, and that's the thing. I saw the quote-unquote ball pit. It was basically an inflatable pool that had balls in it. It wasn't even like a bounce castle that had balls in it, you know what I mean?
Well, they did have the balls.
Only just. Ugh, okay.
Anyway,
so,
just... I'm also picturing the Cubs in the in their dressing room or green room or whatever it is that baseball players have, and they're all like, you know, boys, I know that it's been 70 years or so since we made it to the playoffs because some guy wouldn't let a goat in here or some crap like that makes sense, but this year it's going to be different, damn it. We're going to the World Series and hell's coming with us. And they all cheer, and they hold their bats aloft like sabers, and then they run out in the field, swing wide the gates, and a tidal wave of urine hits them in the face, and they all drown.
Yeah. If you guys like, I have the Cubs have actually given a full statement in response to the catastrophe.
Please.
And if Sean would like,
we're gonna get it right. We're gonna get it right one more time.
If you like, Sean.
Like the NFL commissioner, right?
Sean, if you like, I'll read this in the voice of Harry Carey.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Opening day at Wrigley Field has always brought challenges with wait times, and tonight was particularly extreme. Two bathrooms in the upper deck went down, temporarily forcing fans downstairs, where we were already experiencing issues with long wait times. With 35,000 fans showing up in the ballpark tonight, we were simply not prepared to handle the guests during peak periods. We have high standards for service, and we've missed the mark tonight. We want to apologize to our fans for the inconvenience. Moving forward, we plan to supplement the existing restrooms with additional portable units, and we will continue to monitor wait times. Cubs win! Cubs win!
Did the Cubs actually win? I don't know if they. I don't know if they remembered to report on that.
I don't know, but they must have pissed off.
I'm not sure. I can look it up really quickly if you want. But is it weird that they claim that they did not have the capacity to handle 35,000 fans yet? This is your opening day. How could you not be ready for this? You're a professional baseball club. It's like the very first day of your season. Like, game openers, I mean, it's been a while since I've watched baseball, but were they not expecting people to show up for the season opener?
I know a lot. I remember reading news articles that said that for, like, every team that is not the Yankees, opening day is, like, the only day that they can expect to actually be sold out.
Right, so you would assume that means that they would be prepared for that sort of thing. You would assume that. Obviously, it's not the case, because apparently, you know, to be fair, Wrigley Field did turn 100 this year, so.
Yeah, you can tell it's an old stadium because it's, that joke makes no sense in my mouth now. Sorry, I was going to say it's the only baseball stadium that's not named after a corporation, and then I realized, oh wait, no, it is. Sorry, I miss stadiums that weren't named after corporations. Like, I miss Three River Stadium. I mean, I know there's
Levi,
literally
Levi,
no other reason to miss Levi Three River Stadium, but
Levi Stadium, Jiffy Lube Live.
I want a Viagra Arena. I really do. Or Cialis.
You know what? I know they haven't done it yet.
Center Field.
I know they haven't done it yet, but I heard it's coming soon.
The ball game usually lasts 4 hours. Okay.
Anyway.
Would you believe it, folks at home, that I'm actually confident that I have a better dick joke planned than that?
And that's the thing. He's not usually one.
Stay tuned, folks.
Okay. All right. So getting off of shitty wait times at, you know, shitty ballparks. I wonder if they had the Save Fair sign up this year.
I hope they did.
At least that would make fans like laugh a little bit while they're waiting in line for 35 minutes to use a urinal. One can only
hope. I hope it gets better. I hate summer school.
Shit. okay, so I don't know if you guys heard about this. NASA's New Horizons spacecraft apparently is supposed to be in orbit of Pluto around July 14th, but they're actually able to start. They're actually able to start snapping the first ever color images of it. Although, albeit it's very tiny.
I'm just glad that NASA has finally gone over to Pluto in person to apologize.
Yeah, did you know? What do you think they're like? What do you think that satellite's carrying? You know, I know, like in the old days, they had the gold records that had like every single language and like a bunch of other things carved into it.
I'm hoping it's a really nice fruit basket.
Maybe a bottle of wine.
Edible arrangements.
Yeah,
and a bottle of Merlot.
A bottle of Merlot and a you know the what do you call it? The latest season of Royal Pains or something. Some contemporary enjoyable television. I don't know. I don't watch TV nowadays.
A statement from the president of Disney that say that they're finally going to rename Mickey's dog.
The first season of The Slap.
I think that would offend it. What is The Slap?
One of these days we actually have to watch The Slap at some point. It's just the thought of Siler from Heroes slapping a child is just, that's just way too amusing to us, isn't it?
A little bit. I hate to admit it, just because the whole premise of an adult just backhanding a child is morally reprehensible, but it's Siler, so at least he's not just doing the little, I'm going to slice your head open and steal your brain.
Actually, I would just send it old Disney cartoons.
Like how old?
Well, you know, the ones with Pluto.
Well.
Yeah, I already made the Mickey's dog joke.
Well, yeah, you said changing the name. That would probably offend Pluto even more.
Yeah.
Isn't there like another dwarf planet, Charon or whatever?
Charon.
Yeah.
I thought Charon was like Pluto's moon.
No, like Pluto has a moon, but then there's Charon, which remember was labeled the 10th planet. You know, well, Pluto was still technically considered a planet.
I don't know. I mean, I always thought that Pluto's demotion from planethood was such an insult. But it occurs to me, I haven't really gone out of my way to learn about the planet since elementary school. So,
what was your favorite planet growing up?
It's hard to beat Jupiter, really.
I always liked Saturn. It's
got rings. If you like it, you should put a ring on it.
Yeah, that's how we got some.
But dumb tish. No, you know what planet I always thought was cool? Neptune.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Because sometimes it's actually further away from the sun than Pluto is.
Yep. That well, and it's also...
That is hardcore, man.
Yeah, well, it's also interesting that Neptune is basically, it's like the inverse of... It's not as big as, say, Jupiter is, but it's the inverse. It's got like it's got its own little storm system, like the Great White Spot or something like that. If memory serves correctly, it's been a while since I researched the planets myself, Jordan. But Jupiter was always good. Have you ever watched the
storm?
Yeah. Have you ever watched the Great Red Spot, like video of it?
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Sorry. Since I stared at Jupiter.
It's been sooner since elementary school because I got my astronomy merit badge.
Oh yeah.
In Scout, so yeah, I did some research back then.
Didn't they say that one of the moons could technically sustain human life?
That would be Europa, of Jupiter. Europa has ice; it has water, but it's still the atmosphere is still extraordinarily thin. Titan has very thick atmosphere. Unfortunately, it's pretty much 100% methane.
So let a match and...
Well, fortunately, there's no oxygen there, so no, so it won't ignite if you light a match. So that's nice. But
oh, yeah, right.
Still,
yeah. God, lungs breathe methane.
And of all the moons in the solar system, I can tell you the most about Phobos and Deimos, but that's just because I played all the Doom games.
Dune.
Doom.
Oh, Doom. I thought you said Dune. I was like, no, Dune.
I don't think Dune is ever set in any actual planets.
It's not. That's why I was confused. I was like, oh, Dune.
Spice.
The spice must flow. I mean, wait, was it the Doom games were based on Jupiter? I thought it was Mars.
They're based on Phobos, which is the Phobos and Deimos are the moons of Mars.
Oh, okay. I could have swore it was just based on Mars, but maybe that's just because I never read too deep into the story of Doom.
There isn't much of a story of Doom.
It's, yeah, I didn't think
there are labs on Phobos and Deimos that open the portal to hell. There you go.
Yay! Hell demons! Because that makes sense. Anyway.
Well, where else do you expect demons to come from?
I mean, why are there demons in a sci-fi game? Why can't they just be indigenous populations of that moon? I'm reading way too much into this. It's Doom for Christ's sake. Anyway,
I'm sorry you're not slaughtering, you know, native Martians in that game.
Yeah, I'd be all up for that. Slaughtering green people.
You know, actually, a Doom John Carter crossover would probably that would probably make some money back.
Yeah, either that or a Total Recall video game, based on the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, of course.
They did that once. It didn't work out that well.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
On the NES.
I have the.
I mean, like nowadays. I don't mean then.
You should come over. I have it on my Wii.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I have I basically have a Total Recall game on my PS3. It's called Red Faction Guerrilla.
All right. Oh yeah. Red Faction. Yeah. I remember that game. Josh Whedon's getting sued.
What?
Yep.
He's coming out with the...
Just in time for Avengers soon.
Just in time for...
Here comes the lawsuit.
Coincidence? I think so.
I mean, like...
Age of Sutra.
And it's over something so
age
dumb.
Age of Lawyers.
It's... yeah.
Avengers 2, Age of Lawyers.
Oh my god. No. Joss Whedon's... he's getting sued over the cabin in the woods. Show of hands, who saw Cabin in the Woods?
I did.
It's two of three.
I
was told there was a unicorn.
Oh, was there a unicorn?
Yes.
Yes.
Did it gore someone?
Yes.
I thought so.
So I'm like, yeah, okay, if anything that reminds me of Blade Runner, I will give a shot.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
well, apparently Peter Gallagher, and no, not the actor from While You Were Sleeping...
And no, not the watermelon guy.
Not Gallagher. Apparently, he's claiming that Whedon and one of his guys from Buffy ripped off the plot of Cabin in the Woods from his book, The Little White Trip: A Night in the Pines. He's suing for copyright infringement and wants $10 million, which you figured. I mean, because Cabin in the Woods did pretty well in the box office. It wasn't a flop.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, that movie sat on the shelf for like close to 2 years because they thought that it was so unmarketable, and they released it after the Avengers was already they scheduled it to release after the Avengers, assuming that the Avengers was going to be a pretty big movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then like that ended up being one of the more marketable horror films of the year.
Yeah, frankly, of all the movies I've ever seen that have like sat on shelves for years, Cabin in the Woods is number one with a bullet. I mean, I'm not even much of a horror fan, and I pretty well dug that movie.
Fanboys is good.
Oh yeah,
Fanboys. I liked Fanboys better.
I mean, yeah.
So the studio sat on Fanboys, thinking that wouldn't be marketable.
No, because really? the original version, which was the one that was produced, they were like the test audiences did not like the fact that Linus dies, so they were like, you have to write out the cancer storyline. Which I'm like, then the movie absolutely makes no goddamn sense.
It's a his good trip. Okay, let's go.
Let's go on this road trip with our best buddy Linus.
Hero's motivation.
Who will inexplicably not be with us in the final scene while we're enjoying the new Star Wars movie.
Well, yeah, that's the whole idea, is they would have to go back and reshoot the ending. And the director was not in favor of doing that, and so they just decided to wait on it. And
the hero needs a motivation. No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
It's like, well, yeah, he does.
And it's just like, why are they coming about this now? I mean,
stupid.
Because of
Avengers 2. Like,
I mean, that's the only thing. You mentioned that, and this is like, I don't get it. You figure, you know, once the Avengers came out, and then Cabin in the Woods came out, and Cabin in the Woods did so successful,
that was almost 3 years ago now.
Yeah, I know. Do you think they tried to do it then, not now? Is there a statute of limitations?
I would be tempted to get that Trip in the Pines book and read through it. It's like, where is the unicorn scene? Point me with where a guy gets gored with the unicorn, and maybe he has a case.
Yep. Anyway, so that's the thing that's happening. Hopefully they'll just settle out of court for a little amount as possible.
But speaking of runaway box office smashes, should we mention Furious 7?
Yeah. Furious 7's making a shitload of money.
I guess we really miss Paul Walker. We really miss the Tammy and the T-Rex kid.
Let's see. It got released...
It was like Easter weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Is it still in theaters?
Oh, it's still in theaters. It's just
probably going to be in theaters until like next month. It's going to be one of those movies.
Here's the thing. It's only been out for... it came out April 3rd. It's now April 15th, right? Mm-hmm. It's made about $200 million.
Is that just domestic?
I think that's just
Can you go domestic. To a website called...
Opening weekend, it made $147,187,040.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Gross as of today, just in the U.S., Jordan, it has garnered $259,520,250.
Okay, because you said, before I started recording, you said it was like up to $800 million.
I don't know if that's combined or not. Well, I'm sorry, Sean, you were saying something?
Yeah, you go to a website called The-Numbers. It'll show you how much they spent on making it, and then that way, you know.
So I saw the first Fast and Furious in the theaters. This was like almost 15 years ago now, and I pretty solidly despised it. I thought it was. I'm a little surprised I didn't end up walking out of the theater, to be honest with you. It is such an unpleasant, just dude bro, criminals are awesome. You know, they always have the happiest of endings.
Dude,
kind of movie.
Dude bro.
And I must have been really bored the weekend that the second one came out, because I also saw the second one in theaters, which was even worse.
Yeah.
And I was just amazed that the series had even survived past those first two movies. And I just had my memories of the series were just this dead rotting carcass in my head. And imagine my surprise when one of my favorite podcasts that isn't ours. The Bad Movie Fiends. They were talking about their favorite theater going experiences at the end of the year, and they said, like, you know, one of the best movies we've ever seen in our lives, bar none, was Fast and Furious 5. Like, that's never going to be topped. And I was like, the fuck did you just say? The fuck did you just tell me in my own house on my own computer? Get out!
They're not even there.
Yeah. But
I can just imagine, like, it's dark. He's hunched over his office chair.
I didn't tune in to a Banffcast for like 8 months after that. But eventually, like, everything I've heard about this series since the fifth one, especially, I've had a bit of an epiphany. The Fast and the Furious is the Saints Row of cinema.
I go with that, yeah.
Like, they have departed so thoroughly from their unpleasant, you know, criminals are awesome roots.
Yeah.
And they're basically this, they're this physics-defying, they're like superheroes now.
Yep.
Going on like completely implausible heists involving airborne tanks.
Yep.
And Michelle Rodriguez coming back to life.
Wait, she died?
She died in the first one. And then she's just back again in the sixth one, I think.
It's been a while since I've seen him. I guess I don't really care about him that
and
much.
And so, I just would not be surprised if Fast and Furious 8 is about President Vin Diesel fighting off aliens from the Matrix. And I'm seriously considering actually giving 5 on a shot. Like just renting them all. Okay. I'm intrigued. I'm honestly rather curious. It's just how good these movies actually are.
Well, to put it, all right. So after pulling up the website that Sean advised me of, I now realize where those numbers are coming from. The United States box office for this movie is about 260 million at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
The international box office for this film is over 550 million. At this point, yeah, they're at 809,992,865. The film's only been out for a week and a half. And people
like cars.
Just to put that on a scale for people who don't understand why I'm like amazed by this. Let me put it to you like this: the Lion King, Harry Potter and this Philosopher's Stone, Finding Nemo, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith, Inception, Spider-Man. Well, let me put it this way. Here are films that have made less money than this film has in the entirety of their theatrical run, right? All right, these are films that have made less money. Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen.
Hooray!
Star Wars, Episode 3.
Hooray!
Lord of the Rings.
Aww.
the first Spider-Man film. Inception, Independence Day. Mm-hmm. Shrek the Third. E.T.
E.T.
Is this including inflation, though?
Yeah, this is including inflation.
Oh, well, damn.
Wait, hang on. I'm almost positive it's including
inflation. Yeah, it's adjusted for inflation.
Yeah, these are adjusted for inflation. Blah, blah, blah. 2012. Oh man. And like this is the thing, this is the entirety of their theatrical run, and this film's only been out for like what, 2 weeks at this point? It came out April 3rd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's been about 2 weeks, or it's coming up on 2 weeks right now.
Jeez.
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like this, but is everybody going to see this movie because they love Fast and Furious films, or are they going to this movie because they feel guilty that if they don't, you know, Paul Walker's ghost will be like, meh. I'm just saying, it is the same film.
Like, I'm missing Heath Ledger a lot more than Paul Walker.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's, and you know, any death when it's senseless like that is awful, and I'm not trying to cheapen it otherwise, but I'm like, I do not see where this level of blind fandom is coming from.
Yeah, I guess I miss Paul Walker more than I miss Chris Farley.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, my tastes are genre that way.
Fair enough. at least you can defend that position. I'm flabbergasted as to honestly where all this money is coming from.
Okay, if it beat American Sniper, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure it's beaten American Sniper. I don't know if American Sniper is still in theaters or not.
Anyway.
What is happening?
We can't have anything nice.
It's just...
Okay, Sean, you've been quiet for a while. What did you want to share with us tonight?
There is a past segment from a previous BGNs. This is way back when.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
When a friend Justin was a part of the caucus. He called it trauma at the Y, but I believe... Yes. What was your name? Your name was better for it.
You mentioned before we recorded that you had a long-since dormant segment called Trauma at the Y.
The YMCA.
And I thought that was kind of a dry name for a segment like this. So just off the top of my head, I said, well, why don't we call it Why God Why?
I like it. I like it, and we're keeping it.
Well, thank you.
So this segment, Why God Why? I recently rejoined the YMCA because I feel like I need to lose some extra pounds, and I've joined, and I was signed up for the papers and everything, and then I go downstairs to work out. Soon as I open the locker to the men's locker room, old dude. Naked as he just standing there, and I'm just like, excuse me.
Did he wave or something? Was he expecting you? Or
no, he turned like he was. He was just like,
hello there, fresh meat.
He's just like, hey.
Oh, he's waving with his dick.
I don't know what he was doing. And I was just like, oh god, what? Why do I pay for this?
I pay for this privilege.
I was just like, but then I turned to the other. I'm just trying to like, all right, just look at your key. Try to find the locker that the key goes to. I'm looking through. I turn another corner. Another naked old man. I'm just like, god damn it. And this is early in the morning, so I'm just like, I haven't even had coffee yet. I'm just like, fuck, man. And just like really another old, and then as soon as I'm done working out and like everything, I get away from him for a while. I come back down, I guess, forgetting that there's naked people in there.
Just reopens the door.
Reopen the door, and I'm just like another one. and I go to the shower, and the guys like there's the kind of the hallway there, and there's like some hair dryers and the bathroom sink. And then there's the showers. And then, like, the first shower stall, he's basically blocking the way. It's just some fat guy's like, I'm just like, excuse me. Trying to get through to the stall that's in the corner. The one with a curtain, but, like, ugh. So,
excuse me, I'm a bit of a prude. I need to hide my supple young body away from me.
So I have learned the technique of unfocusing my eyes. And looking down at the tile floor, because they can't hurt me.
I would look up.
Yeah, you have a better chance of catching it in your glimpse.
Well, I'm talking toes. This is my field of view is from
But what happens like that knee... one day where you're just staring directly at your feet, you're just walking forward, and you bump into one of those naked old dudes?
Oh god, I'm my eyes are unfocused. All I see is like a fleshy outline. So
fleshy outline.
That's a great name.
Why God? Why?
I go away. Mm-hmm. And that concludes Why God Why. I hope you enjoy your cold soup.
Is that what they call it?
I don't know. Okay.
Hey, and that's a perfect way to segue into Jordan's dick joke. Jordan!
Alright, well, if you've listened to any of our other fine podcasts, especially... the episodes of the BGN Comic Shop, in which I've reviewed Kevin Smith's Batman comics, then you might be privy to the knowledge that I'm not really a connoisseur of dick jokes. I don't normally go for them, like, on principle. Huh. I just feel like at the heart of every dick joke is basically the expectation that that the jokester reminds us that penises exist. And we're supposed to find that hilarious. And I don't really... Like, I've had one for more than 30 years now. I feel like the novelty's just worn off, frankly. I mean,
I guess I can understand that when you wake up every day and you look at it, and it's just like, hey, what's up? And your penis is like, what's up, man? I don't know why penis sounds like Kirby Dog, but...
Yeah, I would ask a doctor about that, man. But
it makes me me.
So
okay, I'm sorry. Whoopie balls.
So
go ahead.
Droopy.
Mine's still better than that, by the way.
We're trying to warm you up.
So, imagine my surprise when I was coming to hang out at Colin's house, and I stopped at this Chinese restaurant along the way. Oh no! Don't start laughing yet. It gets better. So I'm waiting for my meal, and of course I'm reading the Chinese horoscope. Placemat? What do they call those?
You're the tiger. You're the sheep. You're the cock.
Well, I'm absently reading the little stanza on rabbits, as usual horoscope stuff like. Those born under the year of the rabbit are very courteous and generous whenever they're not impolite or selfish. Friendship is very important to rabbits who would always prefer to be alone. Usual horoscope stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, and then imagine my surprise when I get to the very last sentence, and there it is, and I can just see the sentence like on a marquee in bold, flashing, potentially podcast episode entitling words. It says, "Rabbits should avoid the cock." I laughed way too hard at this. There are several layers, I feel, to my enjoyment of this sentence. First is
it sounds like the subtitle to Anthrocon.
Mm-hmm. I guess first is the realization that I must have been to some very family oriented, politically correct Chinese restaurants in my day.
Oh, Jesus.
That refer to it as the year of the rooster.
Right. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that they were out there, but I'd never come across one that just goes with cock. And then it occurred to me how hysterical it is that it's the rabbits who are getting this advice. It could have been the dogs that should avoid the cock. It could have been the sheep that should avoid the cock. It could have been the snakes that should avoid the cock.
The sheep should avoid fraternity.
Well, the cock should really avoid the snake, if at all possible. Mm-hmm.
Or it could have even been the dragons that should be the ones that are avoiding the cock.
Okay.
But no, it's the rabbits. The animals that are synonymous with fecundity, if you understand my SAT words.
I understand, but visual reference in an audio podcast, Sean is over here losing his shit. Thank you, Jordan.
Sick jokes.
God. But,
I just remember walking down like the Giant's international food section, and then lo and behold, there's cock flavored soup.
Yep.
But you can't have just one.
Yeah.
You know what?
Do you think all the other animals in the Chinese zodiac are at all jealous of the dragons? They're all like, what? I could have been a dragon? You're telling me that animals that don't exist were on that option was on the table? Hell.
I'm a cock.
Did you know that Scotland's national animal is a unicorn?
It is a unicorn. I remember that from Scotland's unfortunately failed bid for independence.
Yeah. Thank you, John Oliver. You are ever so helpful.
But, while I'm closing out this fun discussion on astrology and its filthiness inherent thereof, I obviously don't really give much cotton to zodiacs of all flavors,
mm-hmm.
but the classic Western zodiac, I take some weird measure of pride in the fact that I was born in early December and am therefore a Sagittarius. Because, in the field of all those other poor souls who are fish or goats or crabs or bulls, there's no tiger. There's lions, but there's no tigers. Dude.
The zodiac I read has, there's a tiger.
You're thinking the Chinese zodiac. Okay. All right, anyway.
He's talking about
there are tigers.
Aries, Sagittarius,
anyway.
Scorpion.
I'm a Sagittarius. I've got a ranged weapon. And I have two torsos. Come at me, bro. Oh, you want a piece of this crab? Huh? You want some of this?
I think what I'm Capricorn. Isn't that like that's a goat, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that's the sea goat.
I think so.
There's a sea goat. It's an amphibious goat.
So I'm a manatee, basically. Kind of fits in, you know, because I'm fat.
Oh,
that's my noise in the morning.
It's just water.
Nope, it's Twinkies. It's Twinkies and cheese.
Rejected by eHarmony.
So, folks, who had the best dick joke of the night? Call our 900 number and vote.
I swear to God, when you first were telling me about how you saw your dick, this joke, apparently, mm-hmm. I swear to God, I thought by the end of it you were going to say, me Chinese, me play joke, me put pee pee in your Coke. I would have been like, no. There's no legitimate Chinese restaurant that would do that.
I'm afraid I've never heard that phrase before.
You should just call the episode, me Chinese, me play joke. I am not doing that. I'm gonna go with his, to be honest, because that's just too good to pass up.
Well, thank you. I mean, it may spoil the surprise. I don't know, but I'll accept your discretion, man.
All right,
I should avoid the cut. That's definitely an intriguing episode title. What the? I'll listen to it.
It's like I'm horrified, but yet I'm intrigued. It's like I'm watching Human Centipede all over again.
Oh, God.
Anyway. So, interestingly enough, for those of you who might not be, you know, listeners of the show since the beginning, we actually just kicked over our 100th episode. I think one or two episodes ago?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. So, in the interest of fairness, we're going to have a very special post-100th episode special.
Extravaganza.
I tried to roll my tongue, can't do it.
Extravaganza.
There you go. Thank you. You know what I would like to do? I would like to see about getting some of our old guests on.
Yes.
Like, and I would definitely like to see about getting all, well, most of the hosts.
Well, the show's you have to get him while he's here.
Well, I'm pretty sure we can get him. I'm talking about, like...
We should definitely get that guy. We should definitely get that guy that Justin was too busy playing Donkey Kong Country to interview.
Brian Brown, yeah, we can talk to him. I'm sure we can probably get him in on that.
Yeah.
Although this time we'll have to remember not to be playing Donkey Kong in the middle of an interview. Because that's not nice.
Yeah, somehow I thought that you were going to, like... subtly edit that so that it wasn't extremely obvious what he was doing, but then the title of the episode was definitely not playing Donkey Kong Country.
Yep.
I love that name of the episode. Definitely not playing.
No, God.
Sorry.
No, you're alright.
Let me interview you.
Well, that was the thing.
Come sit in my living room. I'm going to play.
Look, I'm just saying, I'd like to think I'm a professional when it comes to podcasting, but God damn it. Donkey Kong Country is just fucking mesmerizing. It is. It's just one of those games that once somebody starts playing it, your attention just automatically diverts to it. It's
like in the first game, at the end, you fought a king on a pirate ship, and then was it the second game you fought a pirate in a throne room?
I think so.
That's so wacky.
It's so weird.
So weird, so wacky. Yeah. It's amazing.
So, yes, tune in next time for our post-100th episode special. I think that actually will end out season 2, and then we'll start season 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we're still keeping track of when we end seasons.
One season can go on for 2 years.
The first one did. Season 0 went on for almost 3 years.
It's a long season.
It's really long. Anyway, so... from all of us here at Boldly Going Nowhere, I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Jordan Hazelwood.
And you're Boldly Going Nowhere. Yeah, outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Thank you.
Wow, that sounded great.